Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Well, for some reason, my intro music didn't start, so we're just going to go right into it. Welcome, you guys. This is Misty Garcia. I'm your host tonight on MetaMusings, and this is a place to learn, discuss all things metaphysical, spiritual, extraterrestrial, alternative healing, and otherwise considered woo-woo. Thank you to everyone joining us live and on the replay. Tonight's special guest is Geraldine Bouse. Jerry is an author, spiritual paranormal consultant. She is a former radio show host and a known notable paranormal personality. So without further ado, everyone, I want to welcome my special guest, Jerry. Thank you so much for joining me tonight, Jerry.
Well, I'm very honored to be on the show. I'm very happy about this.
Thank you. And tonight we wanted to talk a bit about alien encounters and abductions. And I know that this is a big topic for us to cover in an hour, but you have some personal stories that you can share with us. Is that correct?
Yes, I do.
And also, well, before all that, I just want to say and share with everyone that when I first started thinking about having a podcast of my own, I was listening to Jerry on her podcast, and this was like 2 years ago. So I'm super honored to have you on the show tonight. And thank you so much for being a mentor in this podcast world to me. So thank you.
Aw. Wow. I have like this giant head going through the door now. You're welcome.
Yeah, no, it was great listening to your shows. They're always so wonderful. So, and you had wonderful guests. So thank you. And
I do know a lot of really good people, so that helped a lot.
Yeah, you do. You always had like the best people on, and it's amazing when you start doing podcasts like this, you meet so many amazing people and you just get to connect with awesome guests and people that just keep kind of like flowing, like the red carpet just rolls out and people just kind of show up and you're like, wow, you're so amazing.
I know, and you know, it's really surreal because you have so much in common with so many people that you had no idea had the same sort of life or life experiences as you've had, and it's almost, you know, it's a nice feeling.
It really is, yeah, because I think we connected and mentioned that because you're very empathic. So you had a lot of shows about being an empath, and that's something that I connect to and a lot of people in the spiritual community connect to. So that's something that I know a lot of us have in common.
Definitely. And I've met a lot of empaths doing my show that, you know, I've gotten some help from people, you know, like there's Paula Clark who, I mean, she's my mentor and she taught me how to take myself out of a very bad place. Being an empath, you know, it can get ugly and you can become a recluse. And Paula showed me how to handle a lot of those situations. So I mean, doing a radio show opens you up to not just meeting, you know, all sorts of different people, but it can change your life for the better if, you know, you're put in the right, I don't want to say coincidence, but you're it's almost like they're placed in your path. And I like that.
Yeah, exactly. Like they just show up at the perfect divine timing, always. It's wonderful.
Beautiful.
So in regards to the topic tonight about alien encounters and abductions, is this something that you've experienced your entire life? Like how did this all begin for you?
Well, I'm going to just go to the beginning because I can't really remember how old I was when it started because I was very young. But I do remember, and I was living in a house, and my mother and I talked about this tonight, the house that we were living in, I was 2 years old. And that was the house that it began, at least that I could remember it beginning in, and it would happen at bedtime. They would put me down, they'd put me to bed, and I'd be afraid. Be afraid to be in the room because I always saw spirit. I've always seen things that other people, you know, they weren't acknowledging. I just assumed everyone saw and I would throw fists, but they put me down and in the beginning, it wasn't a threatening experience. It was a comforting, you know, like we're here, and they would show themselves at first as just giant orbs of light. And I'd get the white light would come in, then a giant yellow light would come in, then a giant red light would follow, and they would dance around the room. And, like, you know, they would do little things, like go up and down, side to side, circle each other, and I'd laugh, and I'd feel comforted by this. I didn't see faces at first.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see faces of, you know, what people describe as aliens. I don't even like using that word, but
mm-hmm.
I didn't see any sort of anything like that until I was about 5 years old. And it was when I began school, kindergarten, that I started, they would show their face behind the light. And I got used to it. And I didn't know, you know, when you're little, and we're talking back in the 70s, people, I'm a little older. I'm not that old, but I'm a little older. But, you know, I didn't know the difference between, you know, I didn't know what an alien was. I didn't know, you know, that not everybody saw spirit. You learn this as time goes by. So I would just tell them in the morning that my friends were here last night and they came in the room to comfort me. And I was in a house with my mother. She was a single mom, and my aunt, her biological sister, and my uncle, who was my aunt's husband. And my mm-hmm. uncle was like a father figure to me. And he would come in the room at night because he was getting kind of nervous about it.
Mm-hmm.
And he would come into the room and he would wait, and he'd just pass out, and they would still show up. He'd be passed out on the left side of the bed. I'd be toward the end of the bed watching them do what they do, and then they'd show their face before they left after a while. And it was not a threatening sort of thing. It was almost as if they were watching and protecting at first.
Right.
And I do want to make the distinction to people out there that, like, you'll hear people say that, you know, they're fallen angels, they're demons, they're this, they're that. Yeah, I'm not saying that, you know, there's not good and bad and everything. There really is. But what I had experienced initially, they were different than what started to happen to me as a teenager.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, did you ever think, like some people would say that those orbs of light are, you said people call them different things, like angels and stuff. So some people might call them angels. Is that?
This is what I term them. Okay. I hear people all the time talking about aliens. I don't believe in aliens.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe in space travel creatures. I believe that these are dimensional travelers, so to speak. And yes,
okay,
I do believe that they are of an angelic stature, not in, you know, I don't know, the movies and, you know, the television shows, they seem to program people to think a certain way, and that becomes the norm. And to me, it was different. And I wasn't brought up in a religious family, so I didn't know anything about God, and I didn't know anything about, you know, Jesus or any of that. But I would start talking about it because after a while, when you get to be a certain age, and this is what I call downloads, okay, they would come, and when they would appear at night, they would start telling me things, but it wasn't verbal, it wasn't, like, they weren't talking, they weren't having a conversation with me. They would give me loads of information in like, a span of 5 to 7 seconds, and then they would go back to doing what they were doing and then leave. And these downloads were, you know, like, if you were having a dream, a vision, and you were getting all sorts of information, it was a lot to process. So it took maybe something that they would give me would take me physically months, sometimes even years, to figure out what they were telling me.
Wow.
But then I began to know about, you know, a divine creator and the difference between good beings and the bad beings. And I knew things about history that they didn't teach in school, that when I went, when I did go to school, they would say, this, you know, the pyramids were built by, you know, the Egyptians, and they ran them out, and I would, like, say, no. No, they weren't. They were. And teachers would stare at you across the room thinking, something's wrong with this child, okay?
Yeah. They'd be like, what?
What are you talking about, kid? And, you know?
Yeah. Now, because you were still young when this was happening, right? So they were giving you downloads. I can imagine it would take a long time to process because you were still a kid, right?
You know, here's the thing. I think a lot of people don't comprehend, and again, it's because of social programming. We have existed longer than just the body that we're in right now. We are learning, we're experiencing, we're going through different things. We have been around for a while. You can't create or destroy energy. We are energy, and we have been around a long time. So I think that they reignite some sort of ancient knowledge that you already have inside of you and tell you, hey, you know, this is what it is, and don't forget that, because you're living in a time where people are going to need to know for whatever reason, and that's still not clear to me. I don't know. I don't know why some people have these experiences, and I don't know why some people don't. I mean, let's face it, I'm not making money doing what I do, okay? I don't make money. I talk about these things. I try to discuss the topic and share with people because I want them to know, and I also want to hear their experiences. So it's not a money-based or, you know, I'm not looking for fame in any sort of way. I have declined TV shows for the last 5 years and just flatly said, no, not for me, not what I want to do.
Yeah.
I want to talk about this because people need to be aware of the fact that you live in a very controlled environment. They tell you what to think. Yeah, and they tell you, you know, this is this and that's that, and there's nothing in between, and that's how they control society.
Yes, absolutely. Someone is asking a question. I'm not sure if you know. Can you ask her about the triangles up the spine? Do you know anything about that?
Triangles of the spine. No, I don't. I'm assuming it's like some sort of chakra sort of based question.
Okay, I'll just ask, can you clarify or elaborate on your question maybe, and then I'll ask her again.
Well, wait a second, though, because I just want to say this, and I'm not sure if the question has anything to do with what I'm about to say. But, all of us at some point, abductees, and I only say that because there are negative ones that do take, for some reason, against your will, and they do it in a very, you know, a very bad mannerism. You'll be paralyzed, and most people don't even remember it, okay? Mm-hmm. But my children, unfortunately, have experienced also being in it. I don't even know how to describe it. I want to say in a situation where they have had, when they woke up, they had a triangular mark on their body. With my son, my youngest son, it was a triangular mark on his shoulder. With my oldest son, it was on his, it was on the back of his neck toward his spinal area. Yeah, so I'm not sure if that, with my daughter, it was on her leg. So all of them have had the same sort of, you know, experience with that. But I'm not sure if that has anything to do with the question.
Wow. Someone said they woke up with a Z or an N on their belly. So yeah, there's definitely markings that, and I'm curious if these markings are like different species or, you know, like different like groups.
See, that's the confusing.
Them.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. And now I'm not, there's no 100% in this. Okay. I'm not going to say that I know everything and I'm the expert because I don't. I'm still learning. But my philosophy from what I have learned and what I've experienced is there are different, just like here on Earth, there's different cultures and there's different races. They are of all the same except some of them are different in that way. Some of them are very negative. Some of them are like, you know, our serial killers would be. Some of them are groups of bad. But I think they're just different ranks of angels, personally. That's what I believe. I believe that you've got the good. You've got the ones that impart knowledge. You've got the ones that protect. And you've got the ones that take, abduct, try to possess. And that does happen. Possession is a real thing. And I believe that it's always, always something to do with them. A lot of people say, you know, they have this idea that a demon is just something that, you know, roams around and it's some energy, and they have no idea the origin of this thing. But if you read some of the ancient texts, if you read about, you know, the Sumerian culture and the things that they would talk about the Anunnaki. And they would talk about fallen angels, you know, mating, so to speak, with humans, which I believe was a genetic, let's say, test tube kind of experiment, mating with, you know, we're trying to make a human being, so we're going to, So,
that's,
you know, I think there are different levels. Well, yeah, that too.
Yeah.
But I have a lot of people, and there are some really great people out there that I'm friends with, and they talk about, Jerry, they're all bad. They're all fallen angels. They're all bad. I can tell you that that's not the case. That's not true. They're not all bad.
I totally agree. I absolutely agree. Someone asked, have you had experiences all in the physical or all in the astral or both?
Now, that's a great question, by the way. Physical was, I'd say, the physical part started around 3-4 years old, and this is probably not the nicest story, but I think that I was altered physically. I went to a gynecologist when I was 11 because I started getting my menstrual cycle when I was 9. Okay, and it was abnormal, and it was abnormal to the point of where I was in a lot of pain all the time, and I was I couldn't even walk, I couldn't move. I went to a doctor, and they did an exploratory surgery. They put a little endoscope inside my belly button, and they went in and looked, and the doctor was just amazed. He said,
"Wow,
it looks like your fallopian tubes were sliced by a laser, and you have a perfect scar going up and down inside of your uterus, like you've had a surgery or a cesarean section." And
Wow.
So what happened with that was I had reconstructive surgery on my fallopian tubes, and they told me flat out, point blank, you will never conceive children. You'll never have children because there's too much scar tissue. And, you know, after you have a surgery to reconnect, you're just not going to have children. Well, I had 3 children.
Wow. Yeah, that gave me chills. That's amazing. So all of your children were truly miracles. That's amazing.
They really are. They really are.
Yeah, and you were 9 years old when you found this. Is that correct?
I was 9 when I started having the physical issues, and I was about 3 or 4 years old when I had an experience where I woke up outside, and I wasn't wearing any clothes, and I was bloodied, and I mean bloodied everywhere. But when I was examined, I mean the doctor said to me, "Have you had intercourse? Because, you know, at your age, usually girls are virgins and you're not." And I'm like, "No, I haven't ever done that. No," you know.
Right.
Yeah. That was not a good experience, apparently. Something was trying to sterilize me, and I don't know why. I mean, here's my philosophy, though. These things have this vast amount of wisdom, and they do what they do. Why would they sterilize you, not just, you know, delete you, so to speak? Why wouldn't they just get rid of you?
Right. That seems very strange. Do you think now, what, this might be getting off topic, I hope not, but what about like the hybridization program? Like, what, I've heard that they have taken like DNA and had,
we're like, already hybrid.
Right. So do you think it's possible that they were taking your eggs and like creating a child elsewhere, like in another dimension or something, or in a ship or anything like that? And they didn't want you to
I'm glad that you said that. Maybe And here's an off the wall thought, but I get this from the good ones. Okay, they show me strange things. They have like this area where they'll have certain individual groups of, because I believe we are all spliced already. Okay, already.
Right.
That's it. There's no doubt in my mind. But like they'll grow hearts, they'll grow kidneys, they'll use your genetics to try to maybe save whoever it is down here that they want to help in that way, because that's just what they do. They're like mad scientists, the bad group. I'm talking about the bad ones, not the good guys. I'm talking about the not so nice ones. And I think there's like a project of some sort going on, and why they can't do certain things by, you know, you're that good, you can just touch someone and heal them, right? I think that was, they can't. I think that was taken from them. So they do it in a very obscene way.
So kind of like stem cell research, someone mentioned.
Everything that we have technologically, okay, we've already had before. This is not the first time civilization has been this advanced. And I believe that they give us a push, and not the good guys, the crappy ones, for reasons, you know, I'm sure they have their reasons. But maybe they use some of the stuff because, you know, we are a spliced creature, and that you can't say we're not. Okay, we have DNA inside of us. They used to call junk DNA. They're finding out now that that's not junk DNA, that it's inactive.
Right.
Why is it inactive? I mean, why don't we live longer? Why don't we? Why are we, you know, aging and getting physically ill and having diseases? Because something shut us down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree. I do. And it doesn't make sense for us to have all of this so-called quote-unquote junk DNA. Like, what's the point? Anything else in living existence doesn't have just stuff that isn't being used. You know what I mean? There's no waste going on in nature. Like, all of a sudden now we have just mass amounts of junk DNA. It doesn't make sense.
And it does not make sense. And, you know, I believe that it really isn't. It's in our brains. Even our brains inside this human flesh pocket that we live in, our brains were made to live for probably infinitely. I mean, we have the capacity, we use 10% of our brain. I mean, then that's a highly intelligent person we're talking about that uses only 10% of their brain in a lifetime, and that's if they live to be like 90 years old. I mean, why? Nothing makes sense. And I had people say to me before, maybe, you know, because we're a spliced creation, God said no, put a limit on man's lifespan down here, and we have to get out of this flesh because it's corrupt. It's no good. It's part of them. It's part of the bad. It's a whole hybridization project, and, you know, that's a thought. I'm not convinced of it. I'm not saying it couldn't be. I still ponder it. It's a thought. See, I don't have all the answers. I don't. I have probably have more questions, even in the position that I'm in, than people who, you know, just are curious about this.
Yeah, it is. It's very interesting. And someone mentioned that it's actually a misconception that we do use all of our brain. And I'm glad that they brought that up, because I've heard two different scenarios. Some say, and I've seen scientific research that says we don't use all of our brain, but I've also seen scientific research that says we do use all of our brain. So how do you determine which one to believe?
I believe my neurologist. I see her all the time. She's like a very close friend of mine too. And she would probably listen to the show too, but I love her. And she tells me point blank, no, we do not use all of our brain. And we have, you know, these enormous brains that could last forever. And why doesn't it? Well, because our flesh has been corrupt. And, you know, anybody out there who's biblically based and, you know, just know that some of those stories were taken from the Sumerian text. They're not all, you know, original Bible ideas.
Right.
These people should know that the whole Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden and that story is very accurate in its way, but it's a metaphor, and you have to unravel that metaphor, and it's a pretty scary thing when you do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's I'm glad that you brought that up. That's very interesting, because I have always wondered about certain things in the text, wondering if they're literal or if they're metaphorical, you know? So that's very interesting.
I think, now here's a thought, and people always say, you know, Bible's crap and the Illuminati polluted it and it's man's word, not God's word. Let me ask y'all a question out there. Do you think God is limited? No. Okay. Mm-hmm. Then why do we die, Jerry? And why do we have to be in blah, blah, and why? Well, apparently there are laws and rules that he has to follow, because the universe itself is a very organized place. If something mm-hmm. becomes unorganized, it has to be put back into place. So however mm-hmm. that gets done, you know, that's how it is. But
yeah,
the Bible, I don't care who wrote it, there's a lot of things in there that you will see go along with so many other ancient texts, and you'll say, wow, you know, that's kind of cool. But it makes you think. I mean, you can't take it literally. A lot of Christian fundamentalists do. You can't take mm-hmm. it completely literally, because God is every shade of blue. He's yeah. an echo. So when mm-hmm. he says the water's deep, he's saying life is this and dreams are that and this. And he's being very, very descriptive, but not of just one thing, everything. I don't limit God. Right. I mean, come on.
Right. Absolutely. I agree with you. Yeah, it's so much bigger and than what we think, and a lot of people are putting him in a box, you know, and making it very literal, and it's almost like suffocating, if that makes sense.
It is. It's sad, but you know, here's why. And we go back to that, you know, fallen angel control over mankind, and you know, us being a very controlled society, who mm-hmm. you're told if you're spiritual, you're a nutcase. Okay, you're crazy. No one's going to listen to you because you're a nut. Okay, so that's what you get out there. But, you know, if you do some research, science knows. Science knows mm-hmm. that every single human being on this earth is an intuitive. That's a given.
Yes.
Everybody
it
has
is.
A power to some degree.
Exactly. Yes. Now, when I want to kind of touch on some specific stories. I know that you shared when you were younger about waking up and having like the actual fallopian tube sliced, saying it looked like you had a cesarean section. Now you don't remember actually the event that happened when you were 3 or 4, but you just know you woke up and you were like, what happened?
I woke up outside of a tree at my uncle and my aunt's house. And my mom was working. She lived about 5 miles away. I would stay with them all week. And I woke up outside. Now, keep in mind that we lived upstairs. The door was double locked. My uncle was a security guard, so everything was locked down. My aunt and I were there alone at night. My aunt was sleeping. The front door is locked. The hallway door is locked. All the windows are locked. We're upstairs. And I'm outside on the ground under a tree covered with these tiny little frogs, these itty-bitty little toad frogs. And I don't know if they were covering me to keep me warm because it was cold outside that morning. But when I woke up, I was all bloodied. My uncle was coming home from work. And there was a little naked girl outside the house, you know, brushing little frogs off her, all bloodied. I mean, the man thought I was raped.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's intense. That's an intense experience to be so young. Wow. I don't know if most adults would be able to handle that.
Exactly. But here's the thing about it. I didn't react in any sort of panic mode or, you know, I was just, I'm cold. I want to go in the house. And he's upset,
right,
grabbing me, crying. And, you know, he's overreacting, and I kept telling him, no, it's okay. It's okay. I'm okay now. And I'm trying to reassure him that I'm okay. And I remember the look on his face. He was horrified, and they took me to the hospital to see if someone had done anything to me. And
right.
they were examining me, and the doctor said, doesn't appear that there's any bruising or anything like that. You know, what happened? Maybe mm-hmm. she fell down. She was outside. Maybe she was sleepwalking. And my uncle's right. arguing with him. No, everything's locked in the house. There's no other way in the house.
Yeah, wow. That's amazing. Do you ever have any, like, flashbacks of memories that you think might be associated with that?
I remember everything. And for some reason, these are things that are, like, imprinted into your mind. You don't forget them. It doesn't matter if you were 3 months old when you first saw them. You will remember them. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the actual, you know, when they're taking you and they're doing what they're doing, I don't remember seeing them, the bad ones. I don't remember mm-hmm. the procedure, whatever they did. I don't remember it, but I do remember, you know, the whole horrific look on my uncle's face, and I remember the little frogs. And when I got older is when I started to be aware of. And I will call when the good ones come, I call it a visit. When the bad ones mm-hmm. would come, I'd say it's an abduction. I mean, they're taking me against my will. I don't want to go. I don't want them here. It's a mm-hmm. horrible feeling. It's a feeling like as if you were walking in the woods by yourself and a wild animal starts, you know, following you and coming after you. There's nothing you can do. You're paralyzed with fear. There's nothing mm-hmm. you can do to fight it off, so you just freeze. And even if you want to move, you can't. There's almost like a, I don't know how to describe it. It's almost like there's an energy, a blanket of energy over you where you can't even lift your head up. You can't move your arms.
Wow. So do you think that it's always been the same beings that have come and abducted you?
With me, I've had the good ones, and they have become a permanent fixture in my life. I still get, you know, before I'll go to sleep sometimes, I will close my eyes. And it's almost like why not say it? Because everything, you know, everything out there is going to sound a little off the wall to people who haven't experienced it, but it's almost like a telepathic communication. Their faces
yeah.
will flash, and then I'll get the download, and I'll be like, okay. I get it, and this, and this, and that, and the floods are coming. This was about 3 months ago. The floods are coming. The waters are coming.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about a bridge and something else about the Eiffel Tower again, and blah, and there's so much at once that I'm still unraveling it. And then there's health issues, and you have to address this, and, you know, seeing it once, and then it's more history, and then it's more, you know, things are about to happen, genetic splicing's going on, and blah. It's everything at once. And it's hard to, you're not going to get it all at once. So, you know, from 3 months ago until 3 years from now, I'll still be processing what they gave me.
Yes. Now, I'm curious to know, like, for me, I can clairvoyantly see them. Do you clairvoyantly see them when they're around? Like, do you see what they look like or where they're standing? Is that something that it is in your experience, or how do you experience them, the good ones?
The good ones, they'll stand in the hallway and then they'll go. And like I said, it's not like they don't show up in a UFO, big tin UFO over my house. It'll mm-hmm. be more like the lights will dim and there'll be a bright light or a flash that looks like lightning, and then I'll turn my head and there will be someone, I would call it someone, but they're really not people in that way. And they'll be in the hallway or they'll be in the basement when I'm walking the dogs through. The dogs will throw a fit and like, what the heck is going on? You know, what is this?
Yeah.
And I'll get the, you know, whatever it is, the impartation for the moment, and that'll be that. But when the bad ones show up, and, you know, here's the thing, before I get any further into the conversation, I want people to know that I don't believe, and a lot of people are going to get pissed at me for saying this, but this is what I've been told, okay? I have been told by a greater knowledge than ours that the UFOs that you're seeing out there that look metallic are probably man-made, okay?
Right.
And because
like
the other ones don't travel. Yes, the other ones don't travel like that. And they're like, Jerry, they got the, you know, the knowledge from them. They gave it to them, and it's reverse technology. Hey, we have these things, and that was how we traveled. before, mm-hmm. when society was very advanced, our culture was very advanced, and it was like, and I want to say this sounds really strange, but it was like cars to us, you know,
yeah.
to travel like that.
Like the Jetsons. Remember that movie the TV show The Jetsons? Yes, that's what I think of.
Yeah, and everything you see in a movie or TV is some sort of, I call them echoes of truth.
Mm-hmm.
Of something either the bad ones have done, plan to do, or the good ones are saying, like you'll be sitting in your living room and you'll say something to somebody and the TV will repeat your last few words and you'll look around like, what the hell? And then the TV will go,
yeah.
what the hell?
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, I've been doing a lot of research because you brought up the Egyptian pyramids earlier in the show and the Merkaba meditation. Have you researched that at all?
So here's the thing. I don't research anything online because there are so many, and you know, from my experience and from what they tell me, there are so many things out there that'll throw a wrench into the truth that I don't take my chances by researching stuff. I mean, I'll listen to others tell me their opinion. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
I love sharing ideas, but I don't really look into things like that. I figure if it's something that I need to know, I'm going to
mm-hmm.
get it. You know, they're going to tell me.
Yes, I agree with that. I feel like there's certain information that certain people need to know, and it's given to you at the exact right moment, right? I do.
Yes.
And this could have been, you know, this information is something that I needed to know because the books were handed to me. And, from my father. So he's probably listening tonight. So, and it talks about the ancient Egyptians using the Merkaba meditation, which is putting a star tetrahedron around your body and spinning it in a certain way. And that is how they moved. It's like a extension of their energetic body that they learned how to manipulate and move through dimensions. And that's how they used as UFOs, which is kind of probably what you were saying before, right? That's not.
See, you have a very technical way of saying it. And I have this simple, I think they give me things in a very simple way because I'm blonde.
Yeah.
Time. They're like, if we don't tell her like this, she's really not going to get it. Okay.
I love you. That's awesome. Yeah, yeah. And because I don't really know anything about like sacred geometry and stuff, but that's kind of how it works. It just one day you wake up and you all of a sudden know everything there is to know about sacred geometry and all that crazy stuff. And you're like, how did I know this? I don't know.
Okay, here's, you want to hear a funny story? Okay, I'm in high school. And I kind of stopped going because of all the things that were going on with the negative ones. But I was in high school, and they were doing simple fractions still, you know, the beginning of a test. And then I was looking at it, and I was like, I totally don't get this crap at all. It's too simple. And the teacher's like, okay, well, what about this? And he's showing me trigonometry. And I'm like, yeah, that's easier. And he's like, okay, Jerry, you need to stay after. We have to talk. There's something wrong here. And then I was evaluated, you know, does she have ADD? Maybe she's slightly autistic, you know, she can get this. She knows physics, but she doesn't know how to add, you know, 2 + 2 + 6. Something's wrong with this kid.
Like, it just skipped a part, you know, that's all. We just skipped a portion.
I mean, yeah, a major portion, you know, a major portion. I don't know.
That's
I seem
awesome.
To be all right with money, though, you know.
That's the important part.
Oh, good
that's
Lord.
That's awesome.
Yeah, they
so,
don't seem to be very enthralled with the whole money system that you know, the negative ones have influenced. And the negative ones, you know, telling mankind that you were all created to be slaves and you were just mining
yeah.
gold. They
mm-hmm.
they did make a race of people who were to just mine gold for them because the negative ones were trying to rebuild an atmosphere, so to speak, from what I understand.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
In their little dimensional travels, they had broken through something and messed up, you know, because they're, like I said, they're less than they were when they were decent at some point. And maybe, you know, the Book of Enoch describes fallen angels pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
I have read it. It's very biblically worded. If you can get past that and see a little deeper, I think it's a good book to read. But I
yeah.
think that, you know, they did create a certain amount of people, you know, to mine gold because that's what they needed. And not only that, but, you know, being an immortal being and being limited means that now you probably have some sort of cutoff to your lifespan. And I understand that they were eating the gold dust and it was giving them extra time. Yeah. And it's called, oh God, what the heck is it called? I forgot what it's called. But
it's
they were eating
slugger.
The dust of the
no,
gold. I know, right? Gold slugger. Come on, guys, let's have a drink.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, they were eating the gold, and they were, you know, it was helping expand their life. So now there are people online. If you guys out there want to look this up on YouTube, there's a whole bunch of different opinions about it. But what the heck is it called? See, my brain is like bumping into a wall tonight.
About the gold? About eating the gold?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I'll think of it eventually, but you can look it up on YouTube. Just look up people eating gold dust and it'll come up. You know, they're doing it now and it's poisoning. It's poisoning some people, and some people say that it's helping them. I don't know. You know what I mean?
That's hilarious. We're not responsible for whatever pops up if you do Google that. Just that sounds like it could end up.
Well, maybe you shouldn't use the word eating. Maybe you should term it differently. YouTube can be dangerous. Yes.
That's awesome. Well, we're at about the halfway mark. So I just want to take a quick break and let everybody know that to get in touch with Jerry, what is your email that you wanted to give out, Jerry?
It's lowercase letters. It's empath2014@gmail.com.
Okay. And all of her information is going to be up on the Facebook page if you guys are on there. And I have included it in the title of the podcast as well. So you're welcome to go there for the information. And tonight my sponsor is not only Seed Essentials, they have, it is crystal bracelets with a handmade porcelain bead that is an essential oil diffuser, and she makes every bead by hand to look like a seed in nature. It's really amazing. So if you are interested in that, go to seedessentials.com, and she's also on Etsy. And then The Sacred Calling, which the creator for The Sacred Calling is Naomi Lopez, and she is a psychic medium. She's also helps with finding your calling. So if you are having a hard time finding your calling and you are looking for someone to work with and help you and step-by-step to reach that, go to thesacredcalling.com. All right. So without further ado, I think we can take a few calls before the end of the show if you're still up for that, Jerry.
Yes, I do. But real quick before I just got it. It's monatomic gold. If anybody wants to look it up, I'm sorry. I can't believe I forgot that.
No, that's fine. I'm putting it in the monotonic. Is it monotonic gold?
Yep.
Awesome. I'm putting it in the chat room so everybody can. Monotonic gold. I hope I spelled it right. It's not.
Oh,
that's
all right. There's spell check on YouTube, too. Thank
yeah.
God.
Thank you. Yeah, because I would be lost without it.
Me too.
Question. I have a question about, have you ever had an encounter? And the reason I'm asking is because I have met many, many people that have had encounters with this specific being, and I'm curious what your thoughts are. And it's always based on all they can sense is somebody watching them. They're nice. They don't really intervene good or bad. All they do is watch. And nobody's really sure why, but they can just feel them watching them constantly. Do you ever have encounters like that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I know what that is. A lot of people out there call them guides, okay, spirit guides, what have you. A lot of people call them watchers. You know, they basically keep notes, take notes of what you're doing. And no, they don't intervene, let's say, in a noticeable way, but they will intervene when allowed to. in a way that you won't know that they've intervened. So, yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Definitely watchers.
Okay, yeah, because, yeah, everybody I've encountered, I never tell them what everyone else calls them, but everyone calls them the watchers. Everyone.
Yeah. And, you know, and here's the thing, again, you're going to run into with a lot of people, they're going to say, well, the watchers are fallen angels, and they're bad. And here's the thing, okay, you have to be open-minded when you're researching this stuff,
mm-hmm.
and make sure you actually read things that are by people who, you know, they have some credentials, because the watchers are not fallen angels, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Fallen watchers are fallen angels. Watchers, just plain old watchers, are not fallen. They haven't left that part of, you know, their instruction. If you're
right.
told to do something and you don't do it and you want to be, here's my philosophy. We have a creator God who said, I can't be in the presence of man because he'll just burn up, okay? I'm too much. I'm energy. You can't
mm-hmm.
be near me directly. So I have the gods. We're going to do the creating. And I'm specifically telling them how to create, and they're creating, fine. We have the Anunnaki under the Dinger, who are the gods, the Dinger. We have the Anunnaki who are under them saying, okay, we're going to go to Earth, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do all this work. We're going to help the gods, and we're not going to get any credit for it. A lot of them didn't like the idea of that and intervened by, you know, doing some off-the-wall things like splicing where they shouldn't have and playing gods. And then
yes.
you have the Ajiji who are at war with the Anunnaki, and, yeah, you've got different ranks, different things going on here, and you've got negatives to all of them. There are fallen gods who, you know, fell away. There are fallen Anunnaki. There are fallen Ajiji. We've got three different groups who, I'm not saying there aren't more than one type in these groups. Be very
right.
careful what you think out there, because you're going to say, oh, there's only three different, then why are there reports of, you know, 22 different alien species? Well, there are different,
right.
just like you and I are different, and I'm different than, you know, my friends in Brazil. We look different, we're the same, but we look different.
Right. Yeah, I totally agree. Absolutely. And just, you know, like your friends in Brazil, we're humans, right? But they look different.
Very
and we have different names. So we would be considered Americans, Caucasian. They would be considered, I think, oh gosh, I don't want to be wrong, but I think Latinas or Latinos, and they're Brazilian. So
exactly.
I could be
and,
wrong.
You know, and here's the thing. It's funny that that's how the classifications started with race. It's all from them. It's all from the Anunnaki.
Right, right. So when we talk about like Palladian or Zeta, that's basically all it is that they're from a different solar system. So they look different. They're still extraterrestrials or they're still beings, but they're called different things so that we can differentiate who we're talking about, basically.
Yes.
At least that's
and,
how
you know, here's the thing. I and a lot of people are going to say, well, you don't believe that they're from other planets. You believe they're dimensional travelers. When I say dimensional, I mean that they have a different way of traveling. Not that they couldn't be, you know, putting your feet down on different terra firma than we are. I'm saying that they are traveling differently than we're told. They're not showing up in a big tin UFO. Actually,
yes.
the ones, even the negative ones that I've had experiences with, their vessel or UFO, whatever, I don't call things the same as everyone else does. I call it what they term it. It's an extension of themselves. It's almost like the same material that their bodies are made of, and it takes on that light. And it almost looks like moving light in the sky. Like if you were to light a Chinese lantern and it went up high,
yes,
that they
yes.
look like that, but more a little bit more solid, and they can have varying colors inside of them. It's energy.
And let me,
it's their energy. It's an extension of themselves.
Exactly. Yeah, it's part of them, and their ships, and I'm using quotation marks and air quotations right now, are their energetic body, and they've learned to
exactly.
manipulate it in a way to go through dimensions. And something I have learned, and I want to know if you agree with it, certain times when I've had like experiences, there's been like a boom, like a sonic boom. And at first I thought, oh, it's like a giant firecracker going off, but nobody else in the house heard it. Nobody. And then there was an experience. And then it happened again with the same species for another experience. So my theory is that sometimes, depending on what dimension they're coming from or going to, there's almost like a loud, like a sonic boom kind of thing because of the way that they're moving the energy through dimensions. Does that make sense?
It makes sense, and I totally agree with you. And it's been heard here before we've had visitations, and it's been witnessed by my family also before we've had visitations. When I say we, because at first when you're in a family situation, even though they've had encounters, okay, they're not actually trying to let themselves believe that this was an encounter of an extraterrestrial type, so to speak.
Right.
So when we had the experiences, it was very unsettling to them. And the first time my mother saw a ship, I'm not saying a being, she saw a being in the cottage, which is a story that's in Paranormal Encounters 3 right now by Stelium Books. But I wrote about it. It was a terrible experience there. But when I was moving out of the cottage, they were taking off, and they manifested in the middle of the road. And they look like two, well, at first it was one orange glowing ball. Like if you were just to light a firework and it was just an orange glowing ball, and then it expanded, and then there were two of them, and it was red and orange, both of them. And they started coming, and my mother grabbed my arm and said point blank, "What the hell is that?" And I said, "Mom, that's them." And she said, "I want the bastards to go." That's exactly what she said. My mom's 74 years old. Okay, the look on her face, it was priceless.
And she's like, no, we're not having this today.
She wasn't having any of it. She said, "I want those bastards to go." I'm like, well, it looks like they're going. Where they're going, I don't know, but they're leaving, so don't worry about it. And she was mesmerized by the whole experience. She still talks about it. It's been 3 months now. Every day she mentions it at some point, and I keep saying, "Mom, I've been telling you, this is what Uncle Jerry went through with me. This is what we went through together. I've been telling you all these years." And she said, "Yeah, but I never put the beings together with the UFO, and I didn't know they were you just don't, from that generation, you don't get that.
Yeah.
It doesn't resonate with you."
Yeah, exactly. And somebody asked if the celestial white beings are extraterrestrial. And
I hate all the terms. I hate the terms, people. I don't like terms. Let's call them dimensional travelers. I call them ancients. A lot of people, call them extraterrestrial. They call them alien. I hate the word alien. It's ridiculous. It really is, and we're alien, we're extraterrestrial. I mean, think about it for a minute. We are. I call them, dimensional travelers, the ancients. They're you can call them angels, whatever makes you happy. But just know that I don't term them alien or extraterrestrial, because I believe that they're a little bit more than the titles mankind has put on them.
Yeah. I agree with that. I agree with things that we put titles on. It's just a way to put something in a box, really. But that's
it
how
is,
we
and it's terrible.
Communicate.
It is. I agree. It is how we communicate. But see, here's the problem. Why we don't communicate on a higher level is because we limit our communication. We limit our ideas. And once you limit yourself, it's like you're pulling the blanket over your head. You're not seeing the light anymore. You're happy in your comfort zone, and there's no higher meaning. There's no, 10 meanings to one thing. Now there's only one meaning to it. And titles, they'll screw you up. They really will.
Yes, I agree with that. And I think it's important for everyone to know that I personally, and you can let me know if you agree with me, Jerry, when dealing with them, I don't necessarily go with titles. I go with how they make me feel, right? So if they don't make me feel comfortable, if they make me feel scared, then I don't want to deal. I don't want anything to do with them, right? If I feel comfortable and they feel good to me, then I do. And it really doesn't matter what kind of label or name you give them. Is that something you would agree with?
It is. And, you know, I do, like, when I'm having, I just, you know, the bad experiences, they were overwhelming for a long time in my life. And there was no way to stop it. And I had friends tell me, you know, you got to go to Jesus, Jerry. You know, you got to go to Jesus. Like, I've been to Jesus, okay? You know what Jesus said? He told me all about this stuff and how it was going to happen to us. And you need to go back and revisit Jesus because you're not paying attention. You're living under, you know, a construct. When I have a negative experience, I couldn't stop it. And you have to rebuke them in the name of Jesus. I've done everything. It didn't stop it. It didn't make it go away. When I finally spoke out loud once, you know, and it was before they came, and I had the feeling all day, like, I'll have that day. I'll be barbecuing on my deck and not thinking about, I want my mind clear. I just want a day away from my paranormal life. I want to be normal, you know. And I'm cooking, sitting on the grill, and everybody's watching a TV show, and I'll feel it. I'll feel them watching me, and I'll say, not tonight. All right, I'm done. Whatever lesson it is that I'm supposed to learn, why you're being allowed to do this, you know, because they have to operate by a certain law, too. They can't just overstep a law, and I'll explain that some other time. That's a very complex issue, but I tell them, listen, whatever it is, I already know, and I'm done right now. That's it. I want nothing more to do with this right now. I'm on a different path. I'm on a different level. And let me be. Just leave me alone. And, you know, that pretty much has, and it, as simple as it sounds, it pretty much has slowed the negative down to where it's bearable if it does start to happen. You know, there's not really much you can do about it, but it's bearable because it's less than it was. I mean, I was at a point where I lived in the cottage where it was every 3 days. And that's...
Oh, wow.
It's insane. It was insane. My life was a living hell. My family went through a living hell in that place.
Yeah. And I think also, and you can let me know if this is something you agree with as well, that when we're able to use our power and express it out loud, that can, like you said, out loud talking, that can prevent some things, but also set a boundary as well. But also your vibrational frequency. Is that something you believe in? Like, if you're
I really do. I'm an empath. Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So
and being negative does draw them in.
Yeah. If you are able to raise your vibrational frequency, then they're almost on another dimension at that point. And we're humans, so it goes up and down. But that's something that can help, you know, is learning how to change your vibrational frequency, at least in my opinion.
Yes, it does. It does to a point, but let me say this. They're so meddling in the affairs of mankind. They'll create a situation, and none of us are perfect, no matter how, you know, much yoga, meditation, and how vast our beliefs spiritually get, and how open we are to good. There comes a point where they'll start meddling with you, your family, your pets. And you get down and you get angry and you start to, you know, you're on that frequency and you try to pick yourself back up, and it could be a health thing. You could be getting sick, whatever it is, but they seem to construct, orchestrate ways to put you in a place where they can manipulate you. It's almost strategic.
Yes. Yes, and being aware, I think being aware is very important, because when we're aware, then we have the power to change it, I think.
Definitely, and that's the only power that you have. I have people that I've been friends with for about four.
So before I continue, I just want to say thank you so much, everyone, for joining us tonight, and we'll definitely have to get together again, Jerry. This has been really, really fun to talk about this subject with you. Thank you so much.
I hope nobody out there has a nightmare, and thank you too. And you guys, God bless.
Thank you so much, everyone. Have a blessed night.